CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The inflation picture improves, according to the Wall Street Journal. The headline, U.S. inflation slowed for six straight months in December. The explanation, U.S. inflation eased in December following a mid-2022 peak as the Federal Reserve aggressively raised interest rates and the economy showed signs of cooling. There's some numbers here. The overall is 6.5. The core, excluding volatile energy and food, is 5.7. It's better, but what does it mean? I welcome Veronique Duregy of the Mercatus Center, writing at Creator Syndicate, also writing about growth in the United States in general for Discourse Magazine. But right now we're going to attend to this apparent improvement in the weather. It's wintertime. We are not seeing higher inflation, but Veronique, a very good evening to you. The inflation number is positive. This is monetary policy being rewarded for staying the course after delaying for years to raise interest rates. However, you have an essay where you observe that the Congress, the new Congress, led by Mr. Schumer for the Democrats and Mr. McCarthy for the Republicans, can considerably aid the Federal Reserve by cutting some of their commitments to the country in terms of spending, cutting spending. I think you call it cut as you go. The reason this is pertinent especially is because in the 15 votes for speakership necessary for the Republican Party to endorse Mr. McCarthy, there were demands, claims, negotiations, promises about reducing spending in some fashion in the new Congress, especially for defense. Is that significant? Can that, no matter how little it turns out to be, can that help Mr. Powell at Federal Reserve? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, it definitely can help because it will take some of the heat out of the economy. Fiscal adjustment has always been something I've said needed to happen along Jerome Powell increasing interest rates. So yeah, I think this is a good development. How much and how fast can these cuts happen? I don't know, actually, because they still have to go through the Senate, which is really in the hands of the Democrats, and then be signed by the president. So we'll see. Now, there is a possibility that they're going to go through if they're attached to the debt ceiling negotiation and there's little time. And basically, the Democrats feel that they can't afford to reject a deal for raising the debt ceiling only because they have some spending restraints attached to them.
Raising the debt ceiling is something they do so routine. Is it really a debate anymore? Don't they just find a way to spend more money and call it resolution?
Well, it's been routine for a long time, and then it became very contentious. If you remember, in 2011, with the Republican demanding some fiscal restraints, which they got. And then 2014, it was also a little bit contentious, but ever since, it hasn't been. This is the first time in a few years that no one has actually kind of said, you know what, raising the debt ceiling needs to happen. We don't want the country to default, but we can't continue raising the debt ceiling, increasing the debt, spending like drunken sailors. Like this, something's got to change. And especially, it was never mentioned, but I see this not only as a positive sign because of the debt, and we are just definitely need some fiscal responsibility in Congress, but it's also because it would have a good impact on inflation, and it would make the job of Jerome Powell much easier.
What are the tools that McCarthy and Schumer can use? You mentioned spending caps. What else can they do? If they want to, I understand this is all a political decision in future. They like to spend money, but have they got the skill?
Well, the skills, I mean, I'm sure there are some people with the skills. And we know what to do, right? I mean, like, so to tackle the debt in general, we know there's a huge literature about how we need to adopt fiscal adjustment packages that are based mostly on spending cuts rather than tax increases. And the spending cuts in particular for programs that are the drivers of our debts. That's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, right? We know what to do. As for what to do in order to raise the debt ceiling and what kind of compromises the Republicans should be demanding, spending cap is something that doesn't seem that hard to put in place. I mean, the benefit of spending caps is they don't have to be very, very big. And it will force a discussion on those programs that I've talked about, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, because effectively, you can't really even maintain a slow growth of spending if you don't tackle these programs. That's the easy thing to demand through, you know, in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. And you know, people are going to be saying that just even suggesting that we use the debt ceiling as a way to put in place spending cuts risk, you know, causing a default. And it's not true. I mean, first, Brian Weedle at the Manhattan Institute has actually documented that all of the fiscal restraints that have been put in place in the last 40 years have actually happened through the debt ceiling, as a negotiation through the debt ceiling. And to my knowledge, we haven't defaulted.
What we're looking at here is to reduce the inflation number, which will help a deal when it comes to prosperity. You also have an essay published most recently, a lengthy essay in Discourse magazine, talking about the regulatory environment inhibiting prosperity. So inflation inhibits prosperity, government spending inhibits prosperity, and regulation inhibits prosperity. You know, Veronique, eventually I'm going to figure out that the U.S. government is between us and getting rich.
Yes, yes. The U.S. government actually is a big inhibitor of economic growth. That is actually, there's no doubt about it. The U.S. used to grow at a much faster rate, you know, before the 80s. And unfortunately, this has not been the case actually since 2000, really. The growth rate has been pretty mediocre for the U.S. And that, I think, has to be attributed to the growth in government. And like, it's because whether it's through taxes, whether it's through regulation, what ends up happening is like it takes a lot of money out of the hands of those who could be investing their money in different projects, lending money to innovators and things like this. But also, you know, the government itself, when it spends the money, it often makes those decisions about how to spend it based on very political decision. And these return on these, what some call investment, but they're not investment, are just mediocre, and they're net negative on the economy. So growing the economy, a return on higher growth rate would require the government to step down, especially it would require basically to remove a lot of regulations on our ability to invest, on our ability to build. For instance, like the permitting, Senator Joe mentioned, if you remember, he wanted to see permitting reforms. That the bang for the buck of reforms like this would be enormous in terms of economic growth. And it would be great. Any growth that comes from freeing the supply side is also excellent to reduce inflation.
Veronique Tourangeau, writing at Discourse magazine on the possibility of growth if the federal government will sit down for a moment, and also on the possibility of reducing inflation if the federal government, through the House of Representatives, cuts some of the spending. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.